Good evening and welcome. You're watching The Big Fight, the oldest running debate show on Indian News Television. This is a show which is young at 22. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Now, there is a very, very important issue that we seem to have all forgotten collectively, that the virus is still out there, ladies and gentlemen, strong and invisible. And now there is a new variant which has hit the globe, emanating from many of the countries in South Africa, southern part of Africa. And there is a valid concern and fear that this will soon spread all over the world, including in India, which is why you have the Indian government, which is alerting states to be careful. At the airports, they've sounded off all the security personnel and the airport staff to be more vigilant. Let's now quickly take a look, because it's very important to understand the variant, the virus, and how the challenge is not over. So I'm going to activate the graphics on the screen right now before we begin the big fight to explain the concerns over the new COVID strain. So the center has called for tighter screening of this new strain. This is a huge cause of concern. People are not talking openly about it, but you must know. Only earlier this year, we have faced that deadly second wave. Multiple cases of a COVID-19 variant, that's the technical name, B.1.1.529, have been reported. It's not been officially named, but it is said that it will be called new, that is NU. Cases have been detected in Botswana, South Africa, even in faraway Hong Kong. These cases have now been detected. The variant is reported to have high number of mutations, which means it is a cause of great concern, because after so many mutations, the variant with very unusual constellation of mutations is now out there in the air, which is a cause of major concern. Let's now talk about this strain and get you some more details. Now, the B.1.1.529 has 50 mutations. 30 in the spike protein. We'll have a number of doctors on the show who will be able to explain what this means. The virus enters the body through these spike proteins. Changes could make new variant and very, very difficult to detect. That is why it's very important to continue the exercise of detecting the new strains. The new variant could be more transmissible, and this is only the initial study. The WHO is also saying that we are taking some time before we can figure out what this new mess is. The changes in the spike protein could escape vaccine or natural immunity. So that's where the problem is. So even if you're vaccinated, as of now, we know so little that there is a fear that it could escape the immunity provided naturally or by the vaccine. WHO has listed B.1.1.529 as a variant under monitoring, pending further investigation. Now, this is not a variant of interest. This is not a variant of concern. But as of this moment, it is a variant under monitoring, which means the WHO thinks it important enough to monitor what this variant is. Now, you would ask, what is the difference between these three? It's very important to know where this variant has been placed. Let's go full frame, because there's a bit of text which you may want to read on the screen right now. So let's show you that comparison. What is a variant of concern? A variant which is more transmissible, virulent, and change in disease presentation. What is a variant of interest? It has changes associated with increased transmissibility and severity. And what is a variant under monitoring? Suspected to affect virus characteristics that may pose a future risk. That's why the moment a variant under monitoring poses a future risk and that risk is established, you have a variant under monitoring going straight to becoming a variant of concern. It no more remains a variant of interest for the purposes of a study. A variant of concern decreases effectiveness of diagnostics and vaccines and therapy. The one of interest could escape diagnosis, immunity, or therapy. And a variant under monitoring immune escape is unclear. So that is why this is very, very important. Any variant kept under a variant under monitoring means that we know very little about it. Now, what are these variants? So variant of concern was Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta. Delta is what wreaked havoc in India in the second wave. A variant of interest is Lambda and Mu. And a variant under monitoring is this variant right here, which we are talking about, B11529, which in all likelihood will be given a name. We don't know. Could be called new. And seven others. So these are the variants under monitoring, and that's why it is a great cause of worry for all those. Now, let's quickly tell you the series of unknowns as far as this virus is concerned. This is the most important bit, and we are going to pose all our questions to eminent doctors along these lines. Question number one. Is it more transmissible than earlier variants? As of this moment, a preliminary study suggests maybe, maybe not. That is why it is being monitored. That's one unknown which makes it dangerous. Heavily mutated, say initial studies, how effective will vaccines be? Again, we don't know, because this is a variant under monitoring. Can it evade immunity? Do we know this? As of this moment, no. Thus, you have to be very, very careful, because that's how most of these variants have worked. Little knowledge or not acting on that knowledge has resulted in very difficult situations. At least that's what we have learned from the past two waves. Are we willing to make the third mistake? I don't think so. Next question, the unknown. Will it lead to severe infections? As of this moment, nobody can conclusively say whether this will happen or not. But the way the initial study has been done, it does raise doubts that this can happen. Next question. Will symptoms change? What happened in the first wave? The symptoms were that you won't be able to smell, won't be able to feel the taste. Now, all of that, you know, keeps changing. For instance, many doctors started saying getting a mild headache is also a symptom of COVID. Getting a rash throat is also a symptom of COVID. So will symptoms change? Very, very significant. Next question. Will existing treatment protocol work? Suppose if this new variant comes, will our treatment mechanism change? All of these are the unknowns as of this moment. So that's a lot of questions that we have, and which is why the most important thing, how can you make sure that you stay safe from the different variants, or at least attempt to be safe? Vaccination. Now, many people have taken vaccines, but their vaccines are going to wear thin as well over a period of time. In that case, should there not be a provision of a booster shot, which is the trend all over the world? Now, most countries are accepting the possibility of a booster shot. So far, India hasn't. We're studying the possibility and the effectiveness of a booster shot, but so far we haven't given a go-ahead for it. In the meanwhile, we have a lot of unused shots. 40 to 50 lakh doses are with private hospitals. They expire over the next 4 months. This is data from the DG Association of Healthcare Providers of the Indian government. Now, vaccine stocks have doubled. The government is still undecided on the booster dose. What will save you? Immunity. If your immunity wears thin, should there not be a booster shot, especially when it is being experimented, or at least it is being done across the globe? Is there a conclusive study here in India? I'm sure scientists as well as doctors are working day and night to figure out the feasibility of a booster shot. We have available vaccine stock, which have doubled in November. They've met the targets of production. So we have the vaccine. November 3rd week, 21.66 crore doses are available. 65 lakh per day are being given, which is slightly low given the fact that we had to increase the speed so that we could get more and more people, at least get the first dose or the second dose. October 3rd week, states had 10.85 crore doses. Sources say that there is a vaccine plan for kids and booster doses within the next 2 weeks. So, the big question that we are asking on the big fight tonight is this. The new variant is on the rise. But is it now time for vaccine booster shots? The best of minds need to come together for the best strategy so that we can hope for the best, but also prepare for the worst. We've seen terrible, terrible stuff in the past. History cannot repeat itself. We have to make sure it does not happen. I would like to introduce our guest this evening. Dr. Shashank Joshi is a member of the COVID-19 task force in Maharashtra. We also have Dr. Priya Sampatkumar, chair of the Infection Prevention and Control Mayo Clinic, associate editor of the Mayo Clinic Proceedings. Dr. Rajiv Jayadevan, vice chairman of the research cell of IMA Kerala. Dr. S.K. Sareen, vice chancellor of ILBS. We also have Dr. Sudarshan Balal, chairman of the Manipal Hospitals and member of the Karnataka COVID Task Force. Dr. Sushila Kataria, director and head of internal medicine department at the Medicity Medanta. And Deepthi Gurudasani, senior lecturer at the Queen's Mary University of London. Thank you very much. Very, very important discussion that we propose to have over here, because this is a variant under monitoring. Dr. Joshi, I want to begin with you first. We saw a trend even last time around. We saw different variants emerging from different parts of the globe. Eventually, we saw some of those variants mutating in parts of Maharashtra. And then we all know what happened in April and May, and I'm sure we have learned all our lessons. What do you make from your past experience and when you hear this information about this new variant?
So thank you, Saket. I think we are very clear that somewhere early February, we saw a freak test positivity rate of 53% in Amravati. And the samples from Amravati, Akola, Yavatmal, from the BJ Medical College lab yielded a double mutant, which went on to become the Delta strain. When we had red flagged the issue that time, probably it took off a little longer time for our genomic surveillance to kickstart, and we saw a deadly wave. Currently, this is the new strain, which is the first threat to the dominant Delta. Currently, across planet Earth, Delta is the dominant strain. And because Delta is the dominant strain and Delta derivatives, in Japan, we have almost seen Delta being self-destructed. In India, we are seeing the grandchildren of Delta, which are Delta derivatives, which are not very potent, and we are seeing the second wave on the wane. And now we are having an emerging threat. I would say it's just a threat. There is no need to panic, but we can't be complacent.
Sure.
Of a serious mutant, which cannot be ignored. And it is better to be hyper-vigilant and cautious and careful rather than being complacent. And I think it is time for us to ensure that we vaccinate as many people as possible, as early as possible, rather than being behind booster shots.
Dr. Rajiv Jayadevan, do you feel that this is, and obviously this fact must not be celebrated, that while we have vaccinated a considerable number of people, very many people remain unvaccinated even now. Many have not even got their first dose. However, while this process is on, it gives us an opportunity to speed up that process so that we can provide more immunity to people as these new variants come in.
Yes, I would take you back to your opening statement. You said the virus is still out there. And I think that underlines it. The awareness that this virus is still out there, unfortunately, has faded all around the world. And we are seeing consequences in different nations of different nature. Now, back to India, there is an increasing hesitancy to receive the second dose because many people who are not adept at the principles of immunology and virology believe that the threat has gone away. That is basic human behavior. We like to believe what we like to believe and what comforts us. So we need to get that second shot out there to people, because giving a second shot now will give them a robust immune response. Many of them would have had natural infection, plus they've had a single dose. So this second dose, as of now, will even serve as a booster, because many Indians, as you know, have already had natural infection, whether they know it or not. And we know that there's a concept called hybrid immunity, which basically means if you vaccinate someone who has had past infection. So these individuals are able to generate a better immune response than other people. Now, that will protect them in the initial few months. But for our viewers, I think they need to understand that vaccines protect on two fronts. A, they protect against infection, and B, they protect against severe disease. And these are managed by two different departments of our immune system. But the first department is not very effective. In other words, after a few months, infections do creep in, and that we have preliminary report on this variant that it is getting through the defenses of even people who have received a booster. This is very early information. It needs to be confirmed, but I'm just saying it. The second thing is that this vaccine is protecting us from severe disease based on what is called the T cells, which are long-term, which along with the help of memory cells, they will protect us in the long run, regardless of what variant is it. It is that is as far as the present knowledge goes. But as you said, we need to see how this variant behaves over a period of time.
That's right. Dr. Bilal, I want to come to you now. A lot of the frontline workers, as well as medical practitioners and doctors and medical staff, were all vaccinated starting January, right? Now, it's a known fact, medically proven, scientifically proven, that immunity tends to dip. And if you've taken Covishield, as a general principle, it says that, you know, most of these vaccines like Sputnik and Covishield, you have a sort of an 8 to 10 month window. Do you think that the time is now right to at least start giving booster shots to the first set of people who got the vaccines in January 2021?
Good evening, Saket. Thank you for having me here. And also, thank you very much for warning our audience that the virus is still around and we cannot let our guard down. I think that's the most important statement of the day. So talking about this new virus, B.1.1.529, or the new variant as it's going to be probably called, I want to narrate a small experience we've had in Karnataka. There was a cluster of almost 200 cases in a medical college in Karnataka. And the interesting fact is all of them attended an event for the fresh medical graduates in a single hall. And almost all of them were vaccinated, either a single dose and many of them a double dose, which proves to me that this virus is, it actually suggests to me that this virus is probably very infectious. Secondly, probably there's an immune escape phenomena because many of these people were already vaccinated. And the third, which is the silver lining, is that almost all of these had very mild disease or asymptomatic disease, which, as was said earlier, probably the virus, the vaccinations, even if it has not prevented the disease, has made the disease milder. Now, coming to the question of should we give a booster dose to the people who are vulnerable, especially the healthcare workers, frontline workers, and the people of the older age group, other comorbidities? The answer is yes, but it should not be at the cost of completing the vaccination, the first and the second doses for the general population. I think, as was rightly pointed out, one dose is better than no dose. Two doses are better than one dose. Two doses and a previous infection is probably the best immunity you can have. And the booster dose is something that we should consider, especially for the healthcare workers, frontline workers, and the high-risk groups, not at the cost of offering the second dose to the rest of the citizens.
Correct, correct. Let me now go across to Dr. Priya. Dr. Priya, would you like to tell us, this is a two-part question. Number one, what do we know about this new variant? And number two, where do you stand on booster doses? Because while many countries have welcomed the idea and started the process, as of this moment, in India, we haven't.
So I will start out with just talking about the new variant. What we know, as you pointed out earlier, there are still a lot of unknowns. This we've seen a lot of variants of interest come and go over the last few months. The reason we are a little bit more concerned about this is just the speed at which it seems to be overtaking the other populations of viruses in South Africa. They do a lot of sequencing, and in the last week or so, they found that 100% of the viruses that they've sequenced are the new variant. So it seems to be overtaking Delta in South Africa. the fact that it's been seen in travelers coming from South Africa. So it's been detected in Israel, it's been detected in Hong Kong and in the UK, all from travelers, though not a local transmission. That is a little bit concerning. As you said, we don't know a lot of things about whether it's more virulent, whether it causes more severe disease, whether or not it'll escape vaccines, and more importantly, whether it'll escape all the other things we have for treatment, including monoclonal antibodies. So there's still a lot of unknowns, and I think we need to gather more information. But it's a good thing that we're talking COVID again and that we're sounding the alarm. When it comes to boosters, the U.S. began its booster program almost a month and a half ago, and now everybody in the U.S. is eligible for boosters. And what we are seeing in the U.S. is that the vaccine immunity definitely seems to be waning, and about 6 months after vaccination, we are seeing more breakthrough cases. But just like in Karnataka, what we're seeing here also is that the cases are relatively mild. The problem is that even these mild cases do get transmitted to other people, immunosuppressed people who aren't responding well enough to the vaccine or the unvaccinated people. And so we're continuing to see a lot of deaths from COVID. So I think the boosters will help reduce overall infections and thereby protect those who either aren't vaccinated or are unable to mount a response to the vaccine.
That's right.
So whether India should do boosters, I think, yes, it's very important that first we continue to vaccinate, use up as much vaccine as we can rapidly. I see that India's second vaccination rate is only at about 30%. So getting everybody their second dose is very important. Mm-hmm. But we can't wait to do that and not vaccinate the vulnerable. So the elderly and people who are immunosuppressed, I think you should start giving boosters now.
That's right. Dr. Sarin, I want to come to you now. See, the point is the virus will keep on mutating. That's what viruses do, right? We have had many discussions on the show where we have spoken about the different variations, the mutations, the different strains, and that's the nature of a virus. If the government does think of giving booster shots, it's not going to be a huge burden, because who will be in need of a booster shot? The first set of people who got their vaccines. And initially, our vaccination rate was very slow. So you won't have to vaccinate or revaccinate or give booster shots to very many people.
Yes, Sanket, thank you. I just want to go back for two important points. Sure. One, there is now recent data for this new South African variant saying that it has a very high multiplication rate, what we used to call as a CT value. Mm. The CT values for patients is 18 or 19. So it's a horrific rate of multiplication besides its ability to enter into the cells. Second, it's a winter season and we are seeing many COVID-like illnesses. Mm. So if you have a patient who comes with flu or fever and your RT-PCR is negative, please do not ignore it. Please also consider saving the viral samples and get them sequenced, because you may have a variant which our current RT-PCR methods may not be able to detect. In fact, it would be better to do both RAT as well as RT-PCR till we have newer diagnostic methods, and not to miss any single case who comes a viral illness which is suggestive. And new symptoms you asked, there are four new symptoms described, and body ache, muscle ache is one, rash, and even loss of appetite besides loss of smell. Coming back to the issue of booster dose and whether we should be doing it, economy boosters were given by Prime Minister several times. Economy was boosted. We need to boost our immunity. And that immunity, especially for people who got the vaccines in the first 3 months or 4 months of the year, they are certainly eligible for it.
And it's not a huge load.
It's not a huge load.
Yeah.
It's not something which cannot be done. And in fact, when we were in the Supreme Court Monitoring Committee in August, September, it was strongly recommended that we should start trials on the booster, efficacy of boosters, mix and match boosters. Because if Covaxin has 50% efficacy, it means those who got vaccine, maybe 50% of them never got as good antibody levels.
But we spoke to Dr. Guleria, Dr. Paul, and they all say that as of this moment, the studies that have been done do not give this impression that booster shots are going to help. Of course, science is work in progress, so things may change later.
For Pfizer, the third dose was given the booster on day 4. Antibody levels rose to about 4 times. By day 11, they rose to 18 times. And therefore, there is no question that boosters are not effective. In fact, they are needed. You can say that we will wait till everybody in India gets 2 shots. And yes, simultaneously, all vulnerables must get their booster, because if one person gets that virus which mutates, and you will have more complex viruses, don't allow that to happen, because this virus, the new mutant, also came up into an immune compromised person. Sure. Where virus had this place to multiply. Don't let it happen in India. Sure.
Dr. Kataria, I want to come to you now. Do you feel that whether it is governments, I wouldn't say doctors, but people, the general public, we tend to forget the horror very, very easily? For instance, now you have a situation where testing is not happening at that same rate. Genome sequencing, I don't think, is happening at the same rate. Many of the things that are vaccination, that pace has declined. And, to top it all, I don't think people really care to wear a mask. I was on Thursday in Jewar, which is hardly, 80 kilometers from where I am. And people were frowning upon the idea of wearing a mask. So do you feel that collectively a lot needs to be done in kick-starting that response system to COVID all over again, institutionally?
I agree with you completely that our memory is really very short-term. So we haven't, learned too much in the last 1.5 years. The social distancing, the masking habits are very, very poor. So fortunately, right now, maybe the virus is less in circulation in India, but any variant happens to come, it will spread very fast.
Just like the Delta variant.
And if it would evade the vaccine immunity, then it is going to be disastrous. So I think we need to be more vigilant. We need to be more proactive in tracing cases, monitoring, and our genomic sequence. I think we should sequence every 10th or every 100th sample. Only by that we'll get
but
to know
we doing
what's
that, Dr.
doing
Kataria?
Inside. Because I think in some areas it is being done which are academically oriented. There are some institutes which are always very academically oriented. So it is being done in the teaching institutes and some of the private institutes. But I think by and large, every day we are reporting more than 10,000 cases, and I don't think we are sequencing even 100 every day. So this is the state of affairs. So I think we need to remember what happened in April and May and should be very, very careful. Hope for the best that we have entered into an endemic area, but that may not be true. So we should be prepared for the worst. That's what I would say.
Sure. Dr. Deepthi, I want to come to you now. Your experience, what you have gathered on this new variant, how the initial study as an epidemiologist, what's your reading, which is why it remains, a variant under monitoring, because we know so little. That makes it more dangerous. It's not like we should say, it's still under monitoring, so it may be good. That's not true. There is so much fear of the unknown.
Yes, the early signs with this are very, very concerning. So this is a variant that's become dominant, so gone from being 0% to above 50% in many provinces in South Africa in a period of 2 weeks. Just to compare, it took Delta about 6 weeks to become dominant in most countries when it started spreading.
Oh, God.
And this increase has also been accompanied by an increase in transmission, increase in cases, which tells you that it has some sort of advantage in terms of either transmissibility or being able to escape the background immunity in the population. And both those things are worrying. And as you said, it's something that's quite different from previous variants, and it has many mutations on it that have been associated with higher transmissibility and escape. And the fact that it's sort of competing against the background Delta and sort of outstripping spread so quickly is very, very worrying. And I think it's much, much better in these cases to take preemptive action and overreact rather than underreact, because you can always scale back response later. But if the potential threat is high, you need to act early. This variant has been identified in many countries now, and I think most countries have to assume that it's present. So important things are surveillance. And thankfully, this variant can be detected on particular PCR tests, which are the usual tests for COVID. So screening people, screening at the borders, and border restrictions are vitally important, as well as, you know, reminding people, as you said, this pandemic isn't over and you still need domestic restrictions in place because you have to assume that it might be present. And it's something that's going to be very hard to contain just by contact tracing if it spreads as fast as people right now think it might.
Okay. Dr. Joshi, I want to come to you now and ask you something about, see, where will this variant come into India from? From somewhere outside, right? If there is a traveler who comes from outside. We've just heard that international flights have now been opened up in more routes. Of course, screening has been done to open it in those areas or from those countries where there is no variant of concern or variant under monitoring. But the point is, you know, the world is one global village. You will have a situation where someone would have gone somewhere and would have been in touch with someone from South Africa, and then eventually the variant will land. Do you think it's a wise idea to open up more international flights at a time when there is a new variant under monitoring?
Okay, that's a double-edged question. The main thing is that all inbound travel, which is coming from geographies of concern, and let us see how this variant got red flagged. There is a science and history behind it. You see, there were two travelers, one traveler who traveled from South Africa via Qatar to Hong Kong. And Hong Kong has the most stringent institutional quarantine. So if you go to Hong Kong, you have to institutionally quarantine for 21 days. So what happened is, in that patient and the person who was staying in the opposite room, both developed this virus. And they were able to ensure that they were able to do genomic testing of the same. So currently, all our inbound travel, which is coming from those geographies, 14 countries of concern, we should do strict 14-day institutional quarantine, so that we will be able to ensure that currently we can mitigate this so-called threat. The second thing is that all our inbound, whether it is domestic or global, we still need to be vigilant and do our public health strategies in place. We still need to do our masking. We still need to do everything which is correct. But as far as your question is concerned, there is no point in banning the flights. Rather than that, all the people who are coming in, they can be quarantined institutionally. They can be tested, and then they can be released after 14 to 21 days after appropriate testing is done. If that policy is put in place, I think there could be a substantial damage control which can be put in place.
Okay, Dr. Balal, you know, one question that comes to the mind now is that how do you detect these variants in the Indian context, right? Now, you mentioned about the way things are happening in Karnataka. You have some initial edge on this, but two things. Should we, now the stress not be on increasing genome sequencing? And number two, updating the method with which we do our RT-PCR or other forms of tests in different laboratories so that they can detect newer variants. For instance, Dr. Sareen was saying that there could be a situation where you may test negative in an RT-PCR report, yet you may be a COVID patient, something we saw in the second wave also. You can't have an outdated test.
The two parts to the question. I think what is very important now is, since we are seeing many clusters in certain places, I think genomic sequencing is very, very essential. And if it is indeed the new variant that is causing this clusters, I think we have to be extra vigilant. Obviously, our testing has to be updated, and one negative test should never be taken as no COVID at all. And that was actually included in the government regulations too earlier, where if you had typical COVID-like illness, even if you're COVID negative, you are treated as COVID. I think something similar will have to be followed now in view of the huge number of respiratory illnesses, viral illnesses that we are seeing, and most of them, COVID has come as negative. And hence, we have to be on the watch out. And obviously, there will be upgrading of testing. But I don't think there's any specific test that we have right now which will say this will detect the new virus or some of the other mutants. So I think as of now, our standard would be still RT-PCR followed by genome sequencing as many people as possible. But we certainly, certainly have to raise the red flag and be alert and certainly not let down our guard, because our most important thing in protection against COVID is COVID-appropriate behavior, masking, distancing, and hand-washing.
Correct. Before we move any further, let's quickly take a look at some of the questions and comments that have come in from our viewers who are watching this program tonight. I'm happy to report that there are people who are watching and expressing that concern. So we've got Shivangi on the Ku app, who's a student, and she's raised this question. How can we go for booster dose without including half of the population? Neha Rohila says, let's quickly take a look at that comment. She's also a student. Vaccine came so late into the picture. Don't think booster shots are coming anytime soon. Who would like to answer this question? Maybe Dr. Jayadevan, would you like to take these?
Yes, at this point, the topic of boosters is quite contentious, and there's plenty of difference of opinion, which is a healthy difference of opinion. As far as boosters go, if you look at the Western nations that are doing the vaccine program, they are in the middle of a surge. So they're going to get more mileage out of that booster because the virus is fast spreading. You want to hold your umbrella when it's actually raining. So that's one way of looking at it. India, on the other hand, is in a quiet phase of the pandemic. In one sense, we are between waves at this point. We are about 8 months out after the Delta surge. Maybe a next wave will come in the coming few weeks. We do not know that yet. Nobody can predict that. But, you know, common sense says, and looking at worldwide trends, clearly a wave is imminent. As to what drives the wave could be a variant such as this or a general lax in the pandemic behavior. But back to the question of boosters, I would tend to agree that if someone who's excessively vulnerable, what we ought to remember is that COVID-19 does not affect all age groups in the same manner. There is something called an exponential connection with age, which means that a 75-year-old person with COVID-19 is more than about 200 times more likely to have a severe outcome compared to a 20-year-old with COVID-19. And that gradient, we must remember, exists even after vaccination, even after booster. So if we were to prioritize boosters, I would single out those individuals who are in the higher age group. Age is the biggest comorbidity for COVID-19, hands down. It wins over diabetes. It wins over hypertension, all other conditions. Age is the comorbidity. So older individuals, people who are immunosuppressed on two counts. See, this particular virus has been called the big jump in evolution by Dr. Tulio de Oliveira. What he meant was an extraordinary number of mutations occurred all at once, which strongly suggests that this occurred in a single individual who harbored this virus for a long period of time. And such individuals typically tend to be people who have poor immune systems. And such individuals should be prioritized for a booster dose so that we give the virus much less chance to mutate.
Okay.
Whereas in a healthy individual, a virus cannot mutate because so efficiently because it only lasts about 10 days on average. So that is not sufficient time to generate these mutations.
Okay, right. Thank you very much for sounding everyone out and telling people to be vigilant. And the words with which we started this program, let's end it on that note. The virus is still out there, strong and invisible. Thank you very much. We're stopping for a short break on The Big Fight. When we come back, we interview the CEO of the company which is manufacturing the Sputnik vaccine, and we ask him questions, Kirill Dmitriev. We ask him questions on what his vaccine can do if it were to be given as a booster. Stay with us. Welcome back. And now I would like to introduce Kirill Dmitriev, Chief Executive Officer of the Russian Direct Investment Fund, or the RDIF. Mr. Kirill, thank you very much for joining us. My first question to you is, you have heard of news of a new variant, which is a variant under monitoring. Now, this is a matter of serious concern. Very little is known about this new variant just yet. But would you like to tell us about the vaccine? This is, of course, the Sputnik vaccine that we are talking about. While the governments are talking about greater screening of international passengers, there seems to be a variant of under monitoring in six African countries. Is Sputnik capable of dealing with this new variation, or is this too early to be able to come to that conclusion?
Well, I think it will take us 2-3 weeks to know for sure, because this variant indeed has 24 mutations. So this is a very large number of mutations. But so far, Sputnik showed that it deals with new mutations incredibly well. So we had 91% efficacy against infection for the original strain of the virus. We then have 83% efficacy against Delta variant, and all of the new mutations that came in the meantime, Sputnik is able to neutralize very efficiently. But of course, we need to take 2-3 weeks to study this new variant. We already are in discussions to be able to produce a new variant of Sputnik vaccine in case it's needed. So far, we didn't have a need to do so because Sputnik has been very efficient to fight all of the existing and emerging mutations.
Mr. Dmitriev, see, the thing is that, and this was public knowledge, known and not hidden from anyone, spoken by doctors across the globe, that the virus mutates. It keeps changing. There will be new variants, and vaccines also tend to keep up or factor in that there will be mutations. I want to know from you another question. You know, I have another question for you. The point is, immunity from these vaccines tends to dip after a few months or years. It has a shelf life. Do you think that countries must experiment or at least open up to the idea of giving booster shots? What would you recommend with your vaccine?
Yes, so definitely we see the duration of vaccine protection is very important. And frankly, it's one of the key issues right now. And what you see, lots of cases in Europe, in the US, because mRNA vaccines have shown to be declining in efficacy in 5 months. So Pfizer showed that after 5 months, it's efficient only 47%. Adenoviral vaccines such as Sputnik, such as AstraZeneca, Covishield, have shown to last longer. And we actually believe, and very important data came from San Marino, that Sputnik is 80% efficient 6 to 8 months after vaccination in San Marino versus less than 30% efficacy of Pfizer 6 to 8 months. But what we really recommend is, you know, do take booster shots and also have a combination of different vaccines. We were the first to try AstraZeneca-Sputnik combination, and we believe that Covishield and Sputnik combination will work very well. So going forward, we believe it's different booster shots for different vaccines can provide for longer and stronger immunity. We have tested this in Argentina. We have tested this in many markets, and we see that if you have combination of vaccines, it works better than just the same vaccine over and over again.
No, but Mr. Dmitriev, I remember having interviewed you earlier where you said the exact same thing, that you're trying out, mixing vaccines, and you've said that you've done the test. But obviously, in the context of countries have their own regulators and they have their own understanding on whether this is an advisable thing to do or not. In India, for instance, neither does the government recommend mixing of vaccines, nor does it recommend as of this moment going for booster shots. I want to know from you your experience of your vaccine. In how much period is a person ideally supposed to go for a booster shot or a next shot of the Sputnik vaccine?
So first of all, we registered as universal booster shots in many countries. So for example, Philippines accepts Sputnik Lite as a booster shot for all of the other vaccines. And this is the case with more than 20 countries around the world. So we believe booster shots for sure will come to India. And this is very important. And by the way, India has done tremendously successful job in fighting the virus. But just recently, you saw some of the breakout cases. And I think, you know, after 6, 8, 12 months, some of the vaccine efficacy wanes. Sputnik experience that you typically need a booster shot every 12 months. But different countries decide to sometimes have booster shots in 6 months intervals at the time of high pandemic risk. So I think 6 to 12 months is where the time
between... Mr. Dmitriev, 6 to 12 months means a massive gap of 6 months. Would you or would you not agree that we do not have the requisite science to suggest for booster shots? Because the period that you are giving is very, very long.
Yeah, well, first of all, you see that US and Europe definitely need booster shots for mRNA vaccines. And data there is very strong, 5 months, efficacy less than 50%. They need a booster shot. Hopefully they'll get a booster shot of adenoviral vaccine because it will last longer. But our experience is that between Sputnik shots, it's okay to have 12 months gap. But at the time of high pandemic risk, new variants, new mutations, this time can be shortened to 6 months between the shots. But it's up to Indian government to decide. Absolutely. I think what's key is that Sputnik Lite, we believe, will be accepted by Indian regulator already in the next 2 weeks. It will become the first one-shot vaccine in India and really a made-in-India product because Serum Institute, Hetero and other producers will be producing. So I think by the time Indian government decides on boosters, whether to use them or not, it will have another tool in its arsenal, which is one-shot Sputnik Lite that can be used as a standalone vaccine and as a successful booster.
Now, one of the things that the Indian government says, Mr. Dmitriev, is that there is not enough science available for us to come to the conclusion that booster shots may work. Now, I'm sure as an international manufacturer of a vaccine, you must have come across various global reasoning. Would you like to share some with us what you heard vis-a-vis your vaccine and the need for a booster shot?
Yeah, so basically, again, there are different trials. And Dr. Reddy, our great partner in India, I think will also be doing a trial in India for booster shot of Sputnik Lite. And by the way, we've done a trial in India of Sputnik V. We now finished very successfully a trial for Sputnik Lite. We'll also do an India trial for adolescent vaccine. So Indian government and Indian regulator can see our results. So far, very important. We believe that Sputnik is one of the longest lasting vaccine in the world. How do we know it? 80% efficacy, 6 to 8 months in San Marino is great data. And we'll be sharing data from Argentina and other countries. So Sputnik, we believe, lasts very well. We also believe Covishield is a good vaccine and also lasts quite well. And they obviously have their own data. But Indian government will make the determination on booster. I think one more data point I'd like to share.
Sure.
Hungary just finished a comparison of 5 different vaccines. And it put Sputnik in the first place after testing on 3.7 million people because Sputnik had the highest protection against death. 98%, and was with Moderna among two most efficient vaccines in Hungary. So I think it's very important that Indian regulator gets data from different countries on vaccine duration and vaccine efficacy and makes its own determination. But so far, India has been one of the most successful countries in the world in fighting the virus, in producing more than 1 billion doses of the vaccine. We will use India as a major hub of Sputnik production and five manufacturers already producing. So India has done very well. And of course, it's up to India to decide its strategy on booster shots.
Mr. Dmitriev, in conclusion, would you say that not going for a booster shot or delaying is a luxury the world cannot afford and one must consider it as a safe proposition to protect the people?
Well, I think for mRNA vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, definitely boosters have to be done right away. And you see it in Europe because it's an mRNA vaccine monopoly and it's failing to protect Europe. So they need boosters for sure. Mm-hmm. I think for Sputnik, we also recommend boosters in some interval. And at the end of the day, we believe that boosters are needed because mutations are happening. And at the end of the day, just with flu, you will have every year vaccine mutated to basically the current existing mutation. So we believe eventually in the annual booster shots.
Okay. Kirill Dmitriev, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.